The world we know is changing. Welcome to Biotech Nation. Today on Biotech Nation, a new approach to dealing with a compromised immune system in an effort to decode the genes of critically ill newborns faster than ever before. Dr. David Johnson is the founder, president, and CEO of GigaGen. I started out by asking him, what comprises the immune system of a human?
The most common cells are cells that produce antibodies, which are B cells, and then T cells, which produce T cell receptors. So those are the ones that most people are familiar with. And they do, I'd say, the bulk of the interesting work in the immune system.
Antibodies, we always know that there are many different kinds.
The estimates vary, but some people think there are hundreds of millions or even billions of different antibodies and T cells in your immune system. And that's what keeps you healthy, because you have all different kinds of viruses and bacteria and other pathogens that make their way into your body.
Now, how does that relate to the T cells?
T cells and antibodies work together. A very simple way to think about it is that antibodies will coat a pathogen of interest, let's say a bacteria, and then T cells actually will recognize those antibodies and those pathogens, and then they go and replicate themselves and create more of each other and then induce this entire immune response. So again, there are many different kinds of cells that are coming into the system here, but what recognizes the pathogen are those antibodies and the T cells. Mm-hmm.
One thing I've gotten from speaking with you earlier, Dave, is that everybody has a whole different set of antibodies.
Yeah. And that's the really interesting thing, is that not only do you have a completely different set from, say, your mother or your sister, you actually have a different set from week to week. So if you looked at what your antibodies or your T cells are today, they're going to be completely different in the winter. Maybe you've been exposed to flu. Or maybe you went to a foreign country and got exposed to different kinds of pathogens. Your immune system responds to that and changes. So it's incredibly diverse and extremely interesting from my perspective.
Now, the T cells, the antibodies, they have DNA as well?
Yeah. So one way to think about this is that every one of the B cells or T cells, they actually go through a process called recombination, which rearranges their whole genome. So every B cell and T cell has a different genome in a way. So you're not just comprised of one genome. You're not walking around and you don't have just one genome. You actually have hundreds of millions of genomes as you walk around. So there's a lot of complexity here and a really big challenge scientifically and technically.
If there's one thing I know with today's genetic tools, that any organism, we can take and decode their DNA.
Yeah.
And that's important here.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting point. So the real challenge here is that normally when you take an organism and let's say you want to sequence your genome, what you would normally do is take some of your tissue, something, a skin sample or something, and then you grind it up and you make DNA and then you sequence it. But the thing to think about is you're taking many, many cells, and most existing genetic technologies need many, many single cells in order to get that measurement. But our problem, if you think about it, is we've got many, many different genomes in single cells. So what I'm driving at here is we had to invent a completely new technology that allows us to look one cell at a time and sequence the relevant genes from each of those cells.
This antibody and this antibody and
millions at a time.
It would take it would take more than my lifetime to even even say that on all the antibodies we had to have.
Yeah, exactly.
The same with the T cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of diversity there, and you really have to have special technology to get your head around what's going on in an immune system.
So number one, you take, for just immune system number one, you had to invent whole new technology to decode a whole bunch of the antibodies and a whole bunch of the T cells.
Yeah.
Then you move to the next guy, might be a whole different set of ones?
Yeah, although what you do is we created a platform that enables us to do this over and over again. So certainly, and it's the same thing with when our colleagues sequenced the first genome. This was 20 years in the making, and I forget what the number of dollars it was, but billions of dollars in the making. And nowadays, you can do that for a few thousand dollars. So as you do more and more of them, you get better and better. And your technology gets better and better. So that's really what we've been all about, is it took us a few years to generate that first...
Serial number one.
Yeah, we had that first individual, and it took us years to figure out how to do that. But now we can do this in a course of a few hours. We can generate a synthetic immune system from an individual by taking their cells and then processing them through our system. And then doing the DNA sequencing to measure what the antibodies and T cell receptors are in those individuals.
Now, another thing I know from the genetic tools we have is that if we have the DNA breakdown on a computer, we can turn around and generate that DNA, actual real live DNA.
Yeah.
So you could go from your information and back to real live DNA.
Yeah, and that's right.
That means you could give people their antibodies and T cells?
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the big goals of our company. And this is where it becomes commercially interesting. I mean, there's obviously amazing basic research that's coming out of this. But the real important application is in we call these synthetic immune systems. So you can't just take cells from an individual and then replicate them infinitely and give them to lots and lots of people. You can do something called a bone marrow transplant, but
that's what that's doing. It's trying to move
exactly
introduce a new immune system.
But you can only do that once. So you would get a bone marrow from a relative or somebody who's genetically similar to you, and you can only do that once. So that's hard to scale. In other words, what we do is we actually create these synthetically. So we'll take the information from the cells and then make big libraries of DNA. And then the DNA gets introduced into protein-producing cells. They're called Chinese hamstery ovary cells. You can look them
up.
Gotta
get a new description, man.
Yeah, they're called. That's what the field uses. And these are they're interesting. They're the engines of biotech. Every antibody therapy that's made is made in these cells. So we don't do anything different there. The difference is that we're making many, many different kinds of antibodies and many, many different kinds of T cell receptors, which we can then use therapeutically. The first application is something called immune deficiency. So people can't make their own antibodies at all. And so for those individuals, you take a pool of synthetic immune systems from many individuals.
And very healthy ones.
Very healthy ones with good responses to vaccines, that sort of thing. And then you give that protein to these immune deficient individuals and they can be healthy for the rest of their lives. The other application is in cancer. So in the news, you might have heard about Jimmy Carter and how he took a drug which... Basically, what it does is it takes the brakes off the immune system. So his immune system actually went in and killed his tumor, and he was on his deathbed. But there was some cells, some T cells and or B cells that were in his system, which essentially cured his cancer, given that chance. Right. Exactly. Now, I think the really interesting question is, what were those cells?
Dave is on the lookout. Give me those cells, Jimmy.
So you want to find these really, again, the same thing with the immune deficiency. You want to find people who are really good responders, like Jimmy Carter, and then take their immune systems and then give those to people who aren't doing so well. And that I think is really exciting because you're taking what nature is doing well, it's doing well in one individual or a bunch of individuals. And then you're saying, well, there are all these other people who aren't so lucky. Let's take that information and give it to somebody else. And that's so different than most drugs, which are just made synthetically and, don't necessarily leverage nature. To help cure the diseases.
Now, we've gone through what the process where we start and all the way through.
Yeah.
At the end of the day is the product a recognized kind of therapy that we currently go through trials for?
Yeah.
Do you have to treat things?
Yeah.
I mean, are there diseases recognized by the FDA that you can develop treatments for?
Yeah.
You can't just go out there and say, well, we'll see how it goes.
No. You can't just put this on a shelf and, you know, expect people to use it. It's a very tightly regulated process. The FDA has protocols for regulating these kinds of therapies. So we're obviously following those processes very carefully. You know, we've got excellent FDA experts who are guiding us through the process. And it takes a long time. You know, that's the challenge in any drug company, is that you get very excited about what you're doing. The work is really interesting, and you wish that you could give it to sick people tomorrow. But typically these processes take 5 to 10 years before you can actually get the drug out to a point where doctors can use it routinely.
So you've got a lot of years ahead of you.
We have a lot of years ahead of us, yeah. And there's a lot of different ways that these things work, too. A lot of times startups actually end up partnering with larger companies. That's a new trend these days, is that you know, we're almost entirely funded by federal grants. And so my case that I make in the grants is that I say, I'm going to get data that I can then show to large pharmaceutical companies and then get them interested. And then often small companies like mine will partner with the large companies, and it expedites the process. Let's just say that, because they certainly know how to bring things through FDA, and they know how to sell drugs, market drugs, and do clinical studies.
Well, know. In the spirit of Henrietta Lacks, I'd like to offer you my antibodies at $10 an antibody. You must have just, you know, pay me up front, Dave. You know, in fact, I've got gazillions of them, so write the check.
All right. I've got my checkbook right here ready to go. So they better be good antibodies.
Yeah, that's right.
At that price.
I'm going to be after you for the intellectual property rights. Dave, really terrific. Please come back. Keep us up to date.
Yeah, thanks. This has been fun. Thanks for the time.
Dr. David Johnson is the founder, president, and CEO of GigaGen. More information is available on the web at GigaGen.com. That's GigaGen, GigaGen.com. Critically ill newborns need all the information about their health status immediately, and more technology is being worked on every day, Etico-Genome among them. We talked about its Dragon chip before. It sounds like Dragon, but no, it's spelled Dragen, the Dragon chip. Gavin Stone is Etico-Genome's Vice President for Marketing.
It's actually an acronym, stands for Dynamic Read Analysis for Genomics. And it's a reconfigurable processor, so it takes a similar kind of technology that has been developed for cell phones and things like that, and we've applied it into the genomic space. So instead of you having a whole room full of servers to analyze your data coming off sequencing instruments, and it is a lot of data, it's huge. It's literally a 200 gigabyte file for each person's genome that typically takes a couple of days to analyze. So we've implemented this chip in a reconfigurable processor, an FPGA, field programmable gate array, that enables us to process it in about 20 minutes. And we're able to do it even more accurately than you can just using standard CPUs as well. So in every metric, it's better than it's been done before by orders of magnitude. So it's way faster, way cheaper.
Faster, better, cheaper.
Exactly, yeah. And lower power, which is huge. So
that's right. Anytime you get it in something really tiny, it's really good.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, you know, technology is great on its own. I get very excited about it, but that's just me. It has to have an application. Tell us about the apps. Where are you going with
exactly?
This?
I mean, it's got actually hundreds of applications. One of the ones that I like to highlight, which really showcases the speed and what you can actually do with the speed. I mean, the question is, why do you want to get a genome analysis faster? And the one that is really the most critical is with acutely ill newborns in NICUs, neonatal intensive care units, where it's a race against time to try and find a diagnosis for these newborns that the doctors just don't know what to do with them. And in the past, there's been these diagnostic odysseys or a barrage of tests that have to be sent out for, and they're all tests that require a doctor to make some kind of a judgment on what he thinks is wrong with a newborn. And a newborn doesn't have any patient history, so it's very difficult.
And they're fragile.
Exactly. And a whole genome sequence allows the information to show you what is wrong with the newborn rather than the doctor trying to guess at what is wrong and then verify that with a test.
Now, is this just a projected application or have you actually done this?
No, it has been done. We worked very closely with Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City. Dr. Stephen Kingsmore, very famous for pioneering this work. He actually won a Guinness World Record that we helped him achieve just a few weeks ago for this very thing. So it's called the 26-hour genome. So we are able to go from a blood draw to a diagnosis on a critically ill newborn in 26 hours, which is hugely phenomenal, when literally every minute counts in saving the life of one of these babies.
We have to now disseminate this. I mean, that means the technology has to be on the spot.
Yes, exactly. And we're working very closely with Rady Children's Hospital down in San Diego, where Dr. Kingsmore is now, to create a system that is easy to use and can go from a blood draw to a diagnosis in this 26 hours that consists of a Dragon system, a sequencing system, and all of the bioinformatics and diagnostic tools that are required, all packaged together in a simple, almost like an appliance, you can think of it as such, that we can then replicate at all the children's hospitals. There's probably upwards of 200 NICUs in the U.S. alone. And then you have PICUs, which is the pediatric care units as well. There's a similar number of those. And the plan is to then also have a cloud that all of these connect into and all the data can be shared between the hospitals. And with genomics, sharing that data is as important as making that initial diagnosis because it makes the system smarter and smarter.
When we see all of our DNA together,
exactly.
It means a lot.
Because the genome is just so huge, 3 billion base pairs, if you have a genome that you analyze in isolation, you can only tell so much. But if you analyze 1,000 or 100,000 genomes and do it jointly, you can then figure out so much more diseases and treatments that you can implement on new critically ill newborns.
Well, Gavin, thank you so much. Please come back. Keep us updated.
Oh, you're welcome.
Gavin Stone is the Vice President for Marketing of Etico Genome. More information is available on the web at eticogenome.com. That's E-D-I-C-O, Etico, eticogenome.com. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Mahler, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Ann Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are productions of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Landcore.